The goal of classical self-education is this: not merely to stuff facts into your head, but to understand them, incorporate them into your mental framework, reflect on their meaning for the internal life. These are the words of Susan Wise Bauer, an American homeschooling advocate. Hello and welcome to the Western Traditions Podcast. This is the first episode of the curriculum series. The purpose of this series will be to provide materials for the implementation of the podcast content as a private curriculum, either in the sense of a homeschool for children or as a course of study for adults. Therefore, the content of this podcast series will generally be quick and the episodes short. They are meant simply to guide individuals in applying a syllabus composed of the podcast episodes, along with the great books which inspired them and a certain few other texts. The curriculum, the syllabus, the content, and even the tools to implement the curriculum are provided free of cost. If you wish, you may support these efforts through a purchase on the shopping page of the website, western-traditions.org, or by contributing directly through the PayPal or Patreon options. I have said elsewhere that this podcast began decades ago when I was a young Montessori teacher. History had always been an obsession for me and an area in the Montessori curriculum where I had some more leeway than I did in more tightly organized areas of the standard Montessori curriculum, such as language or math. Given some opportunity, I dreamed up a plan for history instruction that was holistic, based on a syllabus that had an historic integrity. It began with the very creation of the world and ended in the present day. Over the 13 years of my time in the classroom, this plan developed a variety of applications. It also eventually became an entire curriculum, which taught all the subject areas. I came up with a high school version of the curriculum, which took the student from day one of freshman year until graduation, as well as grade school and middle school versions of the same curriculum. Among my goals was the desire to provide a learning framework that was solid, but also did not restrict the student, did not force him to walk down a tightly controlled path to completion. Yet it had a sturdy foundation on which the student could rely to guide his or her education. Now, over the years, I have never implemented this whole curriculum. I used some parts of it in my daily instruction with my students, and I have four children of my own as well. And yes, I always put them through a summer school in the home for a few weeks every July, lucky kids, and I used some of my ideas there. I eventually homeschooled two of my younger boys for a full year in middle school, and that was when I got the most out of this program of study, using portions of the curriculum to make sure that my boys knew who Dante was, what Beowulf was about, that they learned a little Latin, a little algebra, and mostly I wanted to make sure that they knew how to write. And that, in fact, is one of the key emphases of the curriculum, especially for youths, that they learn how to express their thoughts, especially their analytical thoughts, in good English. I took my inspiration from a number of different sources. I am Catholic, so of course I was inspired by the unmatched intellectual tradition of the Church, from the Bible to St. Augustine to St. Thomas Aquinas and more. I also have a degree in literature from the University of Arizona, so I had a great deal of inspiration from the reading that I had done as a young man in school. I had the good fortune to have some great professors there. I also discovered the Great Books of the Western World sometime around 2005. This is a series of 54 books, first published in the 1950s by Mortimer Adler, and used by a number of people to create not just their own homeschool curriculum, but also to fortify the minds of adults who wish to learn more about their Western literary heritage. It contains works such as the Iliad and the Odyssey, Dante's Divine Comedy, the works of William Shakespeare, along with many more equally or lesser known books covering the time period from ancient Greece until the early 20th century. This series strongly influenced the syllabus of my curriculum. In fact, discovering the great books of the Western world, discovering that series was probably my first concrete inspiration in this direction. Also important, of course, was The Story of Civilization by Will Durant. This is a series of 11 books that covers Western history from prehistoric times to the early 19th century. Really, this series is so good that I sometimes consider just making a curriculum from those books and nothing else. But I wanted to stick with primary sources as much as possible, just as Will Durant did. But what encouraged me more than anything else to move forward and actually draft a plan for the implementation of a real school curriculum was finding The Well-Trained Mind, a book by Susan Wise Bauer. I won't do a book review right now, but I highly recommend that anyone, especially in the West, who is thinking about homeschooling their children or about applying a curriculum like mine to themselves, they should pick up this book and give it a read. Bauer provides an entire framework of learning that covers much of the same ground as mine, but she provides many more tools for the real-world application of these things to a young child's life. For example, she lays out how to adhere to state laws, how to document credits properly, how to apply to college if you've homeschooled your child. If you're planning on homeschooling someday, you should absolutely buy this book or check it out at your local library. Now, over the years, as I plotted out the days and weeks of instruction and materials required for my imaginary school, I became more and more disaffected with traditional schooling. Obviously, since I was planning a homeschool, I was not a fan of public schooling, but it was more than just disagreeing with the content of instruction or the rigid physical format of sitting in desks and quote-unquote being good all day. And that whole concept of how traditional schooling turns our children into people that we don't admire is a podcast episode found in this series, but let's not digress now. Anyway, when laying out my curriculum, I became more and more resentful about the way I was always feeling forced to fit 5 or 6 subjects or more into each unit of instruction, and I desired to tell a story with the curriculum, a story that was unbounded and unrestricted, that didn't need to have a literature component or a science component at every single juncture, but that simply told the story of Western civilization and built up slowly, accreting subject matters like math or philosophy as they appeared in the story. I guess I was becoming more romantic about this whole project. I didn't want 50-minute periods of instruction. I didn't want math quizzes. I didn't want art class. I wanted the student, child or adult, to be swept up in the story, in the ascent from primeval darkness and that first source of light, in the beginning was the word, all the way through the centuries of chaos to the tumultuous present. And I didn't want any of that channeled or restrained by mundane requirements, by sitting at a desk, by scheduling 120 hours of biology to complete the science credit, or by foreign language competency testing. Don't get me wrong, I want anyone using the curriculum to become a well-rounded student of the liberal arts, to have a wide-ranging familiarity with all the subject areas. I want them to learn philosophy and psychology and algebra and physics and writing and history and so on. But I didn't want anything rote. I didn't want anything regimented and inhumane. Perhaps I have an anarchist streak. I think that I really wanted, in some way, for kindergartners to start in the Stone Age and not to have access to computers or anything technological and to pick up the sciences as our ancestors did, to not have computers until they reached high school maybe, to learn reading and writing first and to come to formal math and science later rather than all at once, to spend a lot of time outside, under the sun, in the dirt for years before they sat down in an air-conditioned room and read Dante or factored equations. Outrageous and unrealistic, I know. And no, I never applied this romance to my own kids in their brief time in my homeschool. But sometimes I think that if I hadn't been so busy raising kids and working a job in order to feed them, I might just have figured out how this experience could work. I hope that somebody else figures it out someday for the good of all our children. Simultaneously, while all these wild dreams for instructing children rolled around my brain, I also had an educational plan for adults in mind. It was obvious to me that many adults hungered for some of this material. They desired to read Shakespeare, to read Dante, to know more about the Bible, to follow Agamemnon and Achilles to the walls of Troy, and to accompany Odysseus in his tragic sojourn after the fall of that city. And I'm not just talking about uber-educated adults here. I'm talking about everyone from cooks and lawyers and teachers and taxi drivers. Everyone has this hunger at some point in their life to know more about these topics. But I wanted to do more than simply compose another reading list and just hand it out to hungry minds. There are plenty of reading lists. Mortimer Adler, in his great books, he provides one of these reading lists of how to get through his books in the proper way, in the proper order. And Susan Wise Bauer does the same. She has a great reading list. And there are a host of classical, quote-unquote, reading plans in circulation out there. And a lot of them are very good. But I wonder how effective they are, how many people actually use them in an inspired way, and how many people just start out strong and then give up and go back to surfing the internet as a pastime. So I wanted to provide both the romance of history that underlies my podcast, as well as something at least semi-formal to help adult readers not just understand, but also integrate what they read, to turn their scholarly desires into more than just a reading pastime. So, these two driving motivations, the desire to nourish children's minds with classic literature and the desire to help adults recapture some of that intellectual glory, have led me to open up a podcast series about how to apply the podcast, as well as the great books that inspired it, as both a homeschool curriculum and an adult course of study that virtually anyone can follow. The contents of this series will mostly be about how to organize all these materials into a curriculum, how to schedule your days, how to respond to what is read, and more. One of the most important things about this curriculum, whether you apply it to your children or to yourself, is its freedom from the regimentation of so-called traditional schooling. Now, this does not mean that the Western traditions curriculum is anti-organization. Rather, the curriculum respects the need for a specific application to each individual. Some people will desire a very strict schedule, and the curriculum can and does supply that. I have ready-made applications of the curriculum that plan out every single day of several years of instruction. But simultaneously, the curriculum is not bound to that rigid schedule. It can flex. You can adapt it. Other people, in particular adult readers, may desire something much less formal, and the curriculum can meet that need as well. Now, along with sequences of episodes about formats, there will also be articles found here about certain philosophies of education, particular emphases of the curriculum, and other topics that may be necessary, as well as reflections on traditional schooling and various alternative approaches already in existence. The episodes of this series really form a series of recommendations rather than a set-in-stone curriculum. One sequence focuses on the needs of the homeschooling parent and child, and another sequence provides guidance for adults seeking to re-educate themselves in our Western traditions, and so on. Whichever path you take with the Western traditions curriculum, know that you have begun a great learning adventure. Whether it is in teaching your child the grandeur of our history and culture, or in re-educating your brain and nourishing it with Homer and Dante and Shakespeare, before you now are the cultural riches of thousands of years, and no one can keep them from you. You will sail a ramshackle raft across the Aegean Sea with poor shipwrecked Odysseus yearning for home and family. You'll rule over Egypt in an era of peace with the Pharaoh queen Hatshepsut. Watch Moses split the sea to form a path through the raging waters and save his people. Flee the smoking ruins of Troy with Aeneas. Sun yourself on the deck of Cleopatra's barge. Mourn with the apostles and the virgin as Jesus suffers on the cross. Battle monsters with Beowulf. Sit at the round table with King Arthur and his knights. Turn and face the Saracens with Roland at Roncesvalles Pass. cross oceans and mountain ranges to come with Godfrey of Boulogne to the walls of Jerusalem, descend into the darkness of the abyss with Dante, hold on to your throne and revive England with Elizabeth I, burn with the romance of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, shudder with visceral admiration when the 20th Maine Regiment fixes bayonets at Little Round Top in the U.S. Civil War, laugh at Charlie Chaplin in the first silent movies, gulp with horror when the first nuclear bomb is dropped on Japan, struggle to control your exhilaration when Neil Armstrong steps onto the moon, thrill when the internet connects the entire world instantaneously, watch the Twin Towers crumble in flame, and wonder bemused with the advent of artificial intelligence and the latest government disclosures about UFOs. It's going to be a good time.